How is everyone doing? How are you?
Good.
Yeah, good. Okay. Maybe a little teary. So it's an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you. My name is Connor Keyes. We had a patient yesterday in here who said, so you're one of the people who've applied to be minister, huh? And I said, how did you know? He said, it's a small town. it's a small town. So, yes, I am that young whippersnapper who done gone applied to spend time with you all and love you all. So, my name is Connor Keyes. I was racking my brain over what to do this talk about. And I was talking to Lauren about it, like, philosophizing and this and that. And she said, well, you know, you wrote a book. You could do it on that. And I said, look at that. Yes. Yes, indeed, I did. I'm going to tell you a story. There may be a couple moments here where I say, true story. This is a true story. Okay. This is a true story. Okay, who knows that experience where you wake up from a dream and it may not necessarily be images and visions or all that kind of stuff. You don't wake up with this conscious memory of what you've just dreamt, but you wake up with a phrase or a sentence or something like that. Anybody have that experience? So sometimes for me, that is what happens. And I woke up from a dream on November 27th, 2023, with the sentence in my head, you will write a book called Trusting Your Foundation. And I sat that morning and I began writing. And 11 days later, all 20,000 words of this book were finished. That's pretty weird. That's not the way that I'd had aspirations and visions of being a writer and an author, but there's no way that I thought that that's how it was going to happen, right? So, surprise and delight. I would really love for this to have been more of like a 6-hour workshop than with maybe like a good lunch in the middle, but I've got timekeepers watching me. Okay, yeah. Woo. Okay. So the book is essentially about three central premises of this book. When I'm stopped on an elevator, and this happens to come up on an elevator for whatever reason, I say it's a book about faith. It's a book about remembering who and what it is we are, why we came here, what we're doing here, where we came from, did I already say that one? And where we're going when it's all over. So, basic stuff, right? I'm gonna start us off here with premise one. This premise is actually maybe the toughest of the three, and that is that it's deceivingly simple. There's big, don't worry, I'll read it. There's big implications, philosophical implications for why there would be one single way of being in the world which greases the wheels. We here, at this kind of a congregation, of what most people would call, a sociologist would call, SBNR, spiritual but not religious. Okay? You know, we've got, oh, where is it? Oh, I want to use my laser pointer and point at the... You know, we love all faiths here. We see all faiths as a representation, an expression of something, the importance of some kind of relationship with something, and we don't care. This is one of the mottos that I've had for mine and Laura's ministry, which is called Life in the Heart, is that I don't care what you call it, but I care that you care about it. So, if there's a way of being in the world that greases the wheels, it might kind of tip the scales towards wondering, well, are you saying that there's one right way, Connor? And that's a little problematic, right? Here's the thing. No one else can know what that is for you, right? And yet, it is still an expression of one thing. There's one thing going on here. And this right way, this way of being in the world that greases the wheels, what does it do? It arises naturally from within you when you allow it to. It's automatic. It's natural. It's universal. It's real. For real, real, right? And this is the reason why this premise is so dear to me is that we often, in Unitarian kind of circles like this, can run into a kind of relativism where we say, this is my truth. Nothing against that. And I would say that whatever it is that's truthful about your truth, is true, is truth, and is true by being virtue of the fact that truth is truth. You with me? No? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So, that's what I love about this, right? Is that, I'm going to say this, that hopefully, it's my sincere, quasi-sadistic hope that our minds can be flipped inside out at least a couple times in the course of this conversation, okay? Because whatever this way of being is that is natural and easy for each of us, that feels good and feels right. Faith, call it trust. It's not something you have to figure out. And it's not something you will ever get at with your conscious mind. It's a way of being in the world. It's not a way of thinking about the problems that we think that we have, right? So that's pretty cool, I think. And, you know, how cool would it be if God wrote into the fabric of reality that each of us has this, a natural way of being in the world that is unique to each of us and yet is somehow one singular expression of itself. It's pretty cool. Premise two. There's something else entirely going on here. So, I think this one, people of faith and or religious people or spiritual people kind of know this. And yet, if my premise one was based on the fact that our faith, I'm gonna lump all y'all together. Our faith is not necessarily contingent upon what I believe, the particulars or the nomenclature, the jargon, the creeds of what we believe. It's actually something natural. It's actually something deeply human, which we can get in touch with. Well, then that must mean God has less to do with anything that I could ever write down in a book, and more to do with something innate in you. So God just got a little bigger. Yay. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Spiritual people understand this. Right? And we can go quantum mechanics, we can go simulation theory. There's something else entirely going on here, other than what my senses tell me. Right? That's kind of a lot of what we point at, what we get at, when we do a meditation, when we say a prayer, when we try and get in touch with this way of life. Right? Doesn't matter how you do it. Does it even matter that you're doing it? That's a little bit of a paradox. We'll get to there. If there's a way of being in the world that greases the wheels, and it's natural, it actually is, I promise, natural and easy to you. And there's something else entirely going on here that I wonder what kind of medicine might be in there for us when we trust, when we allow ourselves to be. I don't know if you saw the subtitle of my book. My subtitle of my book is Effortless Transformation, Radical Authenticity, and Unconditional Flow. So maybe kind of a tall order, but you know, the radical authenticity part is what Amber was talking about, right? if there's a way of being in the world that greases the wheels, that's not something that you have to figure out, right? Where is it coming from? Who put it there? What's going on here? Not what you think. Not what you think. But what you feel, yes. And what you already know, yes. Okay. This is the last photo that I ever got to take with my mother. She passed August 21st, 2022. She was a dental hygienist, and then a nurse, and then a high school teacher, and then a hospice nurse, and then a middle school teacher, and this was us the day, I'm not kidding, and she didn't just hop, those were all careers. She died at 67, and this was the day that she was setting up to be the middle school teacher. She taught healthcare. She was a nurse, so she went on to teaching in high school. She went on to teaching healthcare occupations. And this was us setting up for her middle school. So, okay. I've always been considered kind of a freak when it comes to grief. Because people ask me, oh, they say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I say, why? Why are you sorry? First of all, take it back. I don't want it. Then you're sorry. You know, that's a whole other discussion. I don't want your sorry. And two, why would I be sorry? Yeah, of course. Of course I miss her, right? And there's something else going on here. There's a narrative, there's a story, this natural way, this life that I think that I'm living includes that my mom would pass when I was 31. She went from healthy to dead in a week. Yeah. And that's the normal line is, I'm sorry. And when I say, why are you sorry? I kid you not, that was a good one, Leanne, that was good. By the way, her name was Leanne. And I know, I've already told her that. She knows. So if I can place my faith in something so big, something deep enough, something which I believe is real enough to afford me ease and flow, even in moments of my mother passing, I mean, come on, folks. I got the DNR call from the doctor, not once, but twice. Because she started her heart up again. Which my thought is, when you love your son that much, how do you say I love you too when you can't speak? You know? So, I'm an only child, you know what I mean? And yet, we say things like, how would they want you to feel? Right? We ask ourselves, like, would they want you to be sad like this? You know, sad. Our grief is only our problem. And our grief can often be no more than a gripping on to the things that we think we need to have control of in order to feel good and better about where life has brought us naturally, automatically. Life is happening, and my life included this. And I love it. I know it's strange. It's strange, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And I damn sure know, excuse me, she wouldn't either. You know? I can tell you stories. So the question is, yeah. If I were to ask a rhetorical question, can you feel it? Can you feel that thing within you which has the ability to rise to the occasion and rise to the surface in these moments of grief and meet you such that you are infinitely, 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 seriously, infinitely resourced right? Knowing that there's nothing wrong here, then rock on. If I asked you if you can feel that, you would say, I'm not saying for all of you, I'm saying you'd be like, yeah. And the answer is yes, you can. Yes, you can, I promise you. You can't not, actually, because it's the nature of reality. It's the nature of consciousness. It's the nature of life. And here we are. How cool is that? By the way, speaking of here we are, let me tell a story. Remember how I said, true story, true story, true story, true story? Oh, shucks. Hold that thought. So, conscious mind. So, right, if I were to buy in to this linear, sequential life of mine that happens in time and space, where there's limited resources, like the time I get to spend with my mother, like the causes of her death being, like there's something wrong there. These are finite resources that I'm dealing with. The fact that I can't hug my mother anymore. Just using this as an example, you know? Just saying, guys. What are the conditions, right? Why would I grieve when my mother gets to be with me wherever I go now? Just saying, right? This is what your intellect is telling you is going on here. This is what your mind is telling you is happening in this very moment. Knock on wood, sticks and stones, little atomic billiard balls bouncing around in Newtonian, Brownian motion. Okay, it feels solid. It feels real. The chair upon which you sit feels real. And guess what? The good thing is it's as real as it's going to get. That's cool. That's plenty. That's plenty. But I don't have to use my conscious mind to pour this weight into it that tells me that I'm not safe or I don't have anything to trust in if these conditions aren't being met. Okay? So, if there's a way of being in the world that greases the wheels and it's natural and universal and automatic, it's a cosmology, big stories here we're talking about, big stories that inform a life, that inform a way of being. It doesn't really look like this. I'll show you what it looks like towards the end of the talk, okay? Here we go. True story. True story, true story. What if I could convince you that this was you? There's pictures. Sorry, y'all. I'm not sorry. Never mind. You can have it back. What if I convinced you that this was you? Not when I say you, do I mean this particular person? No. Do I mean, no, this is a metaphor. Because I can't use language to get at what's actually going on here. I can use language to point at it. And what? Your heart knows. See the thread that we're weaving here? That there's a way of being in the world that greases the wheels. You don't have to figure it out. What if I could convince you that this was you, and here you are in some sort of virtual reality headset looking at what you think are your hands or sitting on what you think is that chair, standing on what you think is this stage? True story. You're sitting on a rock in heaven. Am I still here? You were sitting on a rock in heaven some time before you were born. And you say to your friend, which is sort of a tongue-in-cheek kind of a thing, because everything in heaven is just a projection of one singular unified consciousness. So it doesn't make sense to talk about time. It doesn't make sense to talk about people other than you, friends. It's all just one thing, but bear with me. You're sitting on a rock in heaven talking to your friend. And you say to your friend, just because I want to and because it's kind of fun, I'm going to maybe like genderize it a little bit. I'm going to say, dude, I had this dream. And in this dream, there was like this thing. There was this thing, and it was in front of me, and it was not me. It was like separate from me. But it was this thing, and I was here, and I think it was there, right? And the friend says, yeah, that's called separation. That's called separation. People are really into that. There's this place called Earth. There's this place called Earth where people go. It's the hottest roller coaster in the multiverse. You ought to see the line for it. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? I love it. This is good. Okay. There was this thing, and your friend says, well, I know, that's called separation. You probably experienced like a little bit because you thought it was this thing. Well, my God, people go to Earth, and they experience this force field called time that they think that they're living in, and then they think that other people are other people. It's this, it's so weird. And you say to, your friend's like, what's the big deal? And you say, well, I'm hooked. You're telling me I can get more of this stuff? You're telling me there's a roller coaster made out of this stuff, separation? I'm going to go. And your friend says, uh-uh. No, you wouldn't do that. That's insane. That's insane. He said, no, I'm hooked. I'm doing it. And so you jump to the front of the line. And like I said, there's a line. And yeah, you jump to the front of the line. Just because it says in the good book, there's St. Peter. And St. Pete, you know, says, whoa, buddy. I see you're very enthusiastic. And we got to get something straight here before you go jumping into pure separation. Time, oh my gosh, conditional love. Conditional love. I don't know. I want you to know that I'm going to cut to the chase. I want you to know that most people who go on this ride, and when I say most people, I mean most people misuse the conscious mind, the intellect that they're given when they come here. And they lose it. They freak out. They lose their mind. I mean, look at them, right? So, by the way, these are our patented SVRAIRCGs. They are Spiritual Virtual Reality Artificial Intelligence Roller Coaster Goggles. And as you can tell, most people freak out. And the funny thing is, St. Pete says, the funny thing is, we've sent God Almighty down in multitude of forms, reminding them to lighten up, become like children. You must become like children. Be childlike imitators of God. Right? The entire Tao Te Ching is about having what's called Sheng Da, or the superior virtue of the child. And yet we lose it. So, right? And you say, I don't care, I'm doing it. I had the dream. This is what's next for me on my path. Which is ironic because you don't have a path. Not there, right? You might think we do here, but there's something else going on here. Right. Okay. So you say, I'm signing it. What do I have to sign in order to sign up? Okay. I know, we're very silly. Here's where I get really serious. We have a cultural story. There's narratives that we live by. Maybe not the automatic and natural way of being in the world that greases the wheels. There's stories that we inherit, right? About how to be and what life means. One of those stories that we have inherited, especially in our SBNR, spiritual but not religious, New Age, New Thought, whatever you people are, in this culture that we're trying to enculturate and foster and nourish and nurture here, right, and elsewhere all over the planet, and that is a soul contract. Anybody ever heard the concept of a soul contract? Okay. Well, the funny thing about this concept of a soul contract is that we act like it's a contract that obligates you to perform. Those are called performances in a contract, right? And we say, well, I've got to learn this lesson. 25? What does that mean? I have 25 minutes left?
No,
All right. That's fantastic. Okay, folks. All right. What did I say? 6-hour workshop? So no, we're going to do it. Watch. Okay. The thing about this soul contract is not that it's obligating you to be here in any particular way whatsoever. And this is one of the things that we who are fostering a spiritual culture of a way to be in the world, I feel, no judgment, I feel that we sometimes misuse these conscious minds of ours, and we go believing that there's something riding on your experience here, that you can mess it up, in other words. And go back to the person on the rock. Why did you come here? It's a story. I'm telling you all a story. True story, true story. Why did you come here?
The ride. It's gonna be fun. The ride. Let's do it.
Because it'd be fun. Yeah, exactly. Because you thought it'd be fun. Because you thought it'd be fun. So what is it that these people know that you don't? Hello. What is it that these people know that you don't? What is the foundational knowledge and wisdom that you came in here with? Right? The book is called Trusting Your Foundation. So what is the foundational knowledge and wisdom that you came in here with that we go from being these people to being freaked out? Right? The answer is a bit of a paradox. The answer is a bit of a paradox because the answer is nothing. These people don't know anything that you don't know. I don't know anything that you don't know. No one knows anything that you don't know or that you need to know. There's nothing that you need to know. There are no obligations in that soul contract. It's just it's tongue-in-cheek. Heaven's got a sense of humor. It's a liability waiver and informed consent. Informed consent in heaven is top-notch. Are you with me? Okay. Yeah. So. premise three. Has anybody seen my shirt? Okay. I don't have the guts to wear it on stage. I framed this in a slightly different way. There is no way you could possibly mess this up. All of the pressure that we put on ourselves about how to be and who to be and what to be, when, where, why, it's all baloney. Like actually baloney, right? It's actually baloney. So we're wrapping it up here. These are these characteristics of the conscious mind, which we think that we're experiencing. We think that this is real. And the real you knows, just like those children, the foundational knowledge and wisdom that you came in here with, that life is an invitation to trust in. You with me? Is this. Your time here is finite and limited, but your essence is infinite and eternal. And we pay lip service to that often. We pay lip service to it. And it's a different kind of a thing, I think, when we let that intuitive, very real thing. Who is it that said it? It's the still small voice. It's the still small voice. Follow me there. There's a way of coming at this that's slightly different, that really does buy into it completely. You can put all your eggs actually in this basket. You really can. And you can live a life from here. There's a way of being in the world that greases the wheels. And the contents of your conscious mind will never get you here. They don't get you there, right? Do you see why maybe I wanted this to be a 6-hour workshop? Which is funny because the audiobook for the book is an hour and a half. So I don't know. Anyway. My friends, I love you. Thank you so much. We do acupuncture here on Saturdays, 11 to 5, and on Fridays, Laura and I host Life in the Heart Ministries. She's also the acupuncturist, too, by the way, for Saturdays. On Fridays, we meet right here at 5:30 p.m. Thank you.
surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me.
Let's take this time to arrive and to be here. What does it feel like to be here? I'm going to remind you that you exist. Isn't that cool? You exist, and you are here. In this moment now. Again, what does that feel like? To know that you exist. It sounds simple, doesn't it? And good thing, it is. It's actually incredibly simple. Our mind wanders, of course, it does. And we might feel ourselves being pulled in different directions. Those directions in which we're pulled are a figment of our imagination, in some sense. I know. It's weird. That's the point. I'm going to take the liberty of counting us down. And there's this thing. I'm going to remind you that there's this thing inside of you. Nobody knows what it's called. Do, 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 do. Nobody knows. Not with language. And yet we do know exactly what it is. And it's inside of you now. And it's inside of this moment in which you find yourself. I'm going to count from 3 to 1. And when I get to 1, this imaginary metaphysical object, this thing, whatever this is, this life, call it what you want. This thing inside of you is going to be felt and real. And you're going to remember that you know. 3. We're going there. 2. You can feel it now. 1. That was easy. This thing is never not there. You are never not where you are, just as you are in this moment now, here. Feel that. It's very simple. It's very available. It's not even something that you have to get in touch with. All I did was count from 3 to 1. This is you. This is you. I'm going to count us up from 1 to 3. When we get to 3, we're going to be refreshed, feeling good. 1, 2, 3. Easy. Easy, easy, easy. Amen.
Oh, no. See.